Well, y'all are in for it this morning. Just give you a warning right now. We just got the home folks here, so I can be rough on you, right? That's all right if y'all. The ladies made it through Sunday school, so we're doing okay. So that's good. If you want to grab your Bible this morning, turn to Ezekiel chapter number 3. Or as Noah used to call it, Easy Cool. I always like that one real well. That's a great Hebrew pronunciation of that book of the Bible. Ezekiel chapter number 3. I'm glad y'all are here. I'm grateful for the weather cooling down a little bit. It's nice whenever it's a little frosty in the morning and keep you nice and cool, and it eventually warms up and it's real nice for about an hour of the day, and then it's time to go back inside. But Ezekiel chapter number 3, we're going to start in verse number 4. I like the Lord's been dealing with me on certain things, and now y'all get to bear the brunt of it. I feel on some of these. I enjoyed the Red Dirt Revival immensely, but it just like any other time, hearing good preaching makes me want to preach. I just get excited about it, and I'm just ready to go, and the Lord starts showing me things, and I go, oh, that's good, oh, that's good. I get to write down all these notes, and then it's bad, though, whenever it gives me something good at the Red Dirt Revival, because I can't turn around and preach it to y'all the next week, because you'll know exactly where I got it from, and that doesn't work very good, so I got to go to weird sources and rob their outlines and things like that. So anyway, Ezekiel chapter number 3, let's start in verse 4. The Bible said, and he said unto me, this is God speaking to Ezekiel, and he said unto me, son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Let's pray. Amen. So here God's following his natural biblical pattern. You see this all throughout the Old Testament, New Testament. What happens is, number one, God chooses a man. Number two, God gives that man his word. And then number three, God sends that man to the people of his choosing to tell them what God said. That's just how God does it. I mean, from the very beginning, he sits there, even with Moses and the children of Israel. He picked Moses. He gave him a message and says, go tell the people. And we see Paul. He chose Paul. He gives him his message and said, now go tell the people. And he that's just how God does it. Ezekiel was given the word of God, though, in a very unusual way. Look at Ezekiel chapter number 2. And let's start in verse 9, and we're going to actually read into chapter 3, just a couple verses there. But Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 9, says, and when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woe. So Ezekiel's seeing a hand that's holding a book in it, and that book's written on both sides and everything. He's the hand's holding that book out to him. Chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. Okay, that's how Ezekiel got the word of God, by eating a book. God does not give us his word that way. Okay, please, kids, don't eat your Bibles. Don't do it. Okay, that's not how we get it today. But if you got a King James Bible, which I believe you do, you have the very words of God. If you don't have a King James Bible, please let us know, and we'll give you one, so you have the very words of God. It's not hard for us to obtain the word of God today. We're not looking for visions or dreams. My wife showed me something earlier this week. It was a book that's being popular, that Conversations with God. Some guy that just have you heard about that mess? And this guy apparently in 1990 something, I think it was 92 or 95 or whatever. He wanted to know the mysteries of God. And so he prayed specific questions to God, and God answered him directly, and he started writing these things down, and he made a book of it. The problem is, everything he wrote in his book goes directly contradictory to the book that God wrote. He was getting it from a vision, which was from the devil, because it goes against the word of God, and he was trusting in something other than the written word of God. We've got a more sure word of prophecy. We've got something better than a voice from heaven. We've got the written word of God that we can go to, submit to, believe, and it'll work out well for us. So we don't have a lack for the word of God. We might have a lack of submitting to the word of God, but we've got it. So we've got everything that Ezekiel had there. He was given the word of God in a different way. You were given the word of God, which you have right here in your lap. So we've got the word of God. But let's look a little bit at Ezekiel's commission here. He was sent to the house of Israel. That's his own people. Back in chapter 3, verse number 4, it says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel," that's who I'm sending you to, "and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee." You realize everyone that is God sent is sent to one of two different people? Either people that speak the same language as you, or people that do not speak the same language as you. Okay, that encompasses everybody. So you're sent to one or the other. Those are the options here for Ezekiel. He was either going to be sent to people who knew his language and he knew their language, the people of Israel here, or you're going to be sent to someone that you don't know. That back wall over there, all the missionaries that we support, most of them go to nations and countries where they don't know the language. Okay, they were sent to people that don't speak the same languages as they do. And there's pros and cons to both groups. Okay, people of a strange speech and of a hard language, it's difficult to communicate with them. Okay, those missionaries, they got to go to language school. They got to go and get immersed in not only the language, but the culture of the people to know how to communicate with them. There's a barrier there. But those people that they're sent to are often more interested in what they have to say because they are different. Oh, an American's here. What does he want? What are they saying? And he's speaking to me. Who is Jesus? I've never heard this in all my... He did what? What God are you talking... We worship wood. What are you talking about? That's not the idol my grandpa made. I mean, it's something new. And so there's curiosity there. And it gets them a little bit more attention. They're kind of like the folks in Acts 17:21. That says, "For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." That was Acts 17:21. That's where a lot of people are. They'll listen to anything so long as it's new and different. Oh, really? You don't say. I had someone discussing with me today or this week the flat earth. Have you heard about the flat earth stuff? I said, I don't pay a lot of attention to it. Oh, yeah, there's 150 verses in Scripture that back it up. And I said, what? The firmament, you know, I mean, God separated the waters from the land and everything. And it's the four corners of the earth, corner, square, you know, and everything. And I was like, what? You know, I had no need for it because I knew enough Scripture against it. And I said, you give me the list of those 150 verses, and I bet I could straighten you out on that pretty easy. But people are just thrilled with something new and something exciting, something that's different. And we see that in secular society today. I mean, yoga came over here, and everybody was like, oh, we got to do yoga, you know, breathe through your toenails and exhale through your earlobes and all this, and take the form of this animal and bend your body this way. And it's okay because it's Eastern, and it's foreign, and it's different, and it's exotic. Yeah, but there's a demonic spirit behind that, and they're trying to get you to meditate on things that aren't God and everything. Stretching's fine. If you want to sit there and stretch, I'll stretch. I won't do yoga, okay? But anyway, That's just something like Tai Bo or all these different things. It's real bad in like the health world. If it comes over from some foreign country where they don't have a lot of people or development, then whatever they eat over there, it's got to be really, really good and everything. We get all sorts of weird diet plans, and people will try them. Why? Because they're foreign, they're strange, they're new, they're different. Gotta try it. These people are simple. They don't have this and they don't have that. And what is that? Something new, something different. There's an advantage there. Whenever you go to a foreign land with the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's an advantage there because they want to hear some of that. If nothing else, just for curiosity, what's the white man doing here for? You know, can I get money from him? I will feign attention. And you know, there's excitement there. But Ezekiel, he wasn't sent to a foreign land. He was sent to his own country. He was sent to his own people. Look at verse 7. It says, "But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and their foreheads strong against their foreheads." Israel was not receptive to hearing from Ezekiel. They spoke the same language. The problem is they already knew about the God of Israel. They were very familiar with the Old Testament law and the miracles that God had already performed. But they were already hard against all the right things. They'd heard it before. It's nothing new. I know a little bit about that topic, and I've already closed my mind to it, so don't you start telling me anything else about it. Oh, I've heard something about Jesus. I've heard something about going to church. Yeah, I used to when I was a kid, but don't you start telling me about that because I'm already closed off here. I know all that I care to know about that subject. Tell me something new and different, and then I'll listen. You know, these people that Ezekiel was sent to, they were already hard against the right things. And you realize it's easier to enlighten someone than it is to soften someone. Yeah. Let me tell you something new. Oh, really? I didn't know that before. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Oh, I've heard this. Why are you so hard? I'm trying to tell you how to get to heaven. Oh, I don't care about that. You know, it's like, what? See, the Lord warns us about this very thing in Matthew 13:57. It says, "But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." Jesus said, listen, you can expect to get received by people that don't know you very well. You travel somewhere else, they're going to be excited to see you because you're new, you're different. I don't know all your stories yet, and I don't know your past. Let me learn more about what you have to say. But whenever you go to your own house or your own people, oh, it's this guy again. Oh, I know about you. I know your past. And they're not going to listen. Ezekiel was rejected by Israel because they rejected the God that Ezekiel was presenting. If you give someone the gospel and they reject what you're saying, you need to realize they're rejecting God, they're not rejecting you. The reason Israel didn't want to hear Ezekiel, if he wouldn't have went up there and said, let me tell you the great things that Baal has done, oh, yeah, let's hear it. Their God is the God of Israel. They know the stories, they've heard it before, and if they were into their religion at all, they would know they were living a life of sin, but they were already closed off to the God of Israel. They were open to something else. So if you go there and Ezekiel gives them the message that God gave to them, they're rejecting God and not him. And we see that, let's see it here. See verse 7. "But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me." They hate the message. Ezekiel went with God's words, verse 4, and he said unto me, "Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them." Go give them my message. And God said, listen, I want you to understand, they're already going to reject you because they rejected me and they're rejecting my words. But I still want you to go tell them. You know, me and my wife did a little door knocking yesterday, had a good time there. But we came across a guy, it threw me for a loop. I had Kaylee with me. My wife was driving, kind of getting us from house to house and things like that. And for the first time that I can remember, or at least in a long time, door knocking, I knock on the door and the guy says, "Come in!" What? You know, it's like, do I go in, do I not come in? I was like, He has no idea who I am. And he's just like, come in. I'm like, let's see what happens, you know? So I open up the door and I said, hey. He's like, hey, man, what's going on? You know, I was like, what's up? And I was like, hi. Let me walk in here. And he's got his TV going, you know, got a college football game on. Got his little boy. Kid's got to be under a year old. He was sitting there and everything. And he was all cuddled in next to dad watching the game. And the guy's in shorts, you know, and he's got a tank top on. He's got these tattoos and stuff like that. He's like, hey, what's up? And I was like, oh, we're with Grace Baptist Church. I said, I was just wanting to come by and invite you to church. I said, do you have a church home you go to? And, you know, hand him the little flyer and stuff. And he takes it and he goes, no, we're not really into church. You know, I did more whenever I was, you know, I had some of that whenever I was growing up and everything. I said, it's just not for us. I said, okay. I said, well, we're kind of concerned because, you know, we want to tell people about Jesus Christ because he's the only way to get to heaven. I said, at the end of this life, there's only two options. I said, that's heaven and hell. I said, Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. Yeah, we're just not interested. I appreciate you coming by, though, but yeah, we're just not interested. So I look at the little boy and stuff, and I'm like, you're not interested. You know, I'm just sitting there thinking, because the little boy, he was kind of like, you know, hi, waving like that and stuff. He showed me his shoes. He pulled up his blankets and showed me his shoes and stuff. Those are nice shoes, dude. That looks good. You know, but he was rejecting the message. It wasn't my message. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you say he's just rejecting because somewhere in his past, he heard something from church. He's heard something about Jesus. And whatever he thought that he knew that I was going to tell him, he thought he didn't want it because he already made up his mind and he was going to be hard towards anything to do with church or with Jesus Christ. So he already decided. He was already hard. We spoke the same language, but he was already hard. You know, it's interesting. We got to look at our commission a little bit. You see, because just like Ezekiel, we're sent to a people that are just like us. Mark 16:15, you know the verse, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, all the world does not mean every country outside the U.S. Amen. Preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That doesn't mean to every city outside of Clinton, Oklahoma. That means some people are sent to Clinton, Oklahoma. That means some people are sent to Weatherford, Oklahoma. Some people are sent everywhere. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're the ones that God sent to preach the gospel to this town. You say, how do you know? Because we have his word and we have his commission. He's told us to go to all places. And we look at that verse and we say, oh, that means we need to support missionaries and send them to all the parts of the world. Yeah, we should. But we've been sent here. To cover the whole world, you've got to hit every spot on the map, not just the ones that are away from us. But see, we as we look in this passage of Ezekiel chapter 3, we face a lot of the same problems that Ezekiel faced because we're sent to our own people. We are Americans trying to reach Americans, and we're in the South. Everyone here has heard something about God. And they all think that they're going to heaven already. They all say, oh, I've heard something about religion before. I know something of some church that somebody once told me about something. I've heard God, some brief description about something. I know something about God, something about church. So don't you tell me, because who are you to tell me anything? Because you're no better than I am. I'm an American, you're an American, we both have liberty, we both have freedom. Don't you start pushing things on me because I know my rights and I got my beliefs and I got freedom of speech and I know all these things that I've got, just the same as you've got, but I don't want to hear you. See, the thing is, you're not sent with fancy, new, strange, foreign ideas that might entice their curiosity. You're sent with the same old message that their fathers have rejected and taught them to reject. The reason they don't go to church is because they weren't taught the things of God by a godly person and shown a desire and interest in it. They've already rejected what you're trying to present to them, most of them. There are still some people out here that don't know anything about Jesus. We've run into some of them, but we're sent to everybody in the community. We're sent to a bunch of hard-hearted, stubborn, proud, privileged people who love their sin and don't want to hear from God, especially a message on judgment. You're saying, hey, your sin's going to send you to hell. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. I don't believe in hell. You cannot believe it all you want, but without Jesus Christ, you're going to go there. Don't you tell me that. That's insulting. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to get you to go to heaven because there's heaven or there's hell. I'm trying to tell you about the only way to get to heaven. Don't you judge me. They're hard. They're proud. They're stubborn. You say, what's the solution? Look at verse number 8. Behold, here's what God has done for Ezekiel to equip him to go unto these hard-hearted people that speak the same language, but they've already rejected you. They've rejected God. They've rejected God's message. They're living in disobedience to him. Look what God says he's going to do to Ezekiel to help him out. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 8. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. We need God to harden not our hearts, but our faces. You say, what's our faces? That's our resolve. That's the direction in which we're going. You go the way that your face is facing. Okay, you start turning that way because you face that way. You know, my dad, for some, he was an oddity to me. We'd be out on the farm there in New Mexico, and there's nobody on the roads, like, ever, you know, that's not related to you. And he'd get on that highway, and he'd want to see what everybody else is planting, how their crops are coming along, you know, their new sprinklers, is there a tractor out there, you know, whatever's going on in the middle of nowhere. But he's very curious about everything going on the side of the road. So he can drive for, like, 3 miles like this. You know, and I'm sitting there in the passenger seat. I'm like, don't you need to? And I was like, he never swerved. He said, I was like, I got this. I could do that. I look for 2 seconds, and I'm in the other lane, and I'm like, oh no. You know, my wife's like, don't look around. You know, because I shouldn't, because if I look that way, I'll start turning that way. If I look that way, I'll start turning that way. Why? You go the way your face points. Look at the animal kingdom. They head the way their face is going. You can stop and look, but you're not moving that much that way. You start looking, and you turn that way. Your face is set on your direction. God is talking about hardening Ezekiel's face and his forehead so that he will not turn from the direction that he was sent. You know, it's interesting. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 63, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." He said, oh, I put you behind a plow. I gave you a job. I gave you a responsibility. I've given you a commission. Yet you keep looking back the whole time. And you're getting drugged in all these different directions. He said, you're not fit to be behind the plow. You're not fit for the responsibility that I've given you. Why? Because you're not focused in the direction that he sent you. You don't have your face set forward on it. But see, in this passage, we see our commission, how much it lines up with Ezekiel's commission. But look at Ezekiel's obstacles. God lists out the obstacles that Ezekiel will face when trying to reach the people that God sent him out to. Remember, Ezekiel hadn't went and started talking to them yet. He said, listen, I want you to go. Here's what I want you to tell them. And here's the opposition that you're going to face. Number one, they're hard. They're a hard, familiar people. They're going to be hard-hearted, they're stubborn, and they're going to go against you. Number two, you are not presenting anything that they haven't already rejected. They're rejecting you because they've already rejected my word. And so you need to understand that. Number three, though, some of the obstacles, Ezekiel has fear. And number four, the people have discouraging looks on their faces. Did you see those in verse 9? Ezekiel 3:9. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not. Fear was going to keep Ezekiel from giving God's message to the people that God sent him to. And then he says, neither be dismayed at their looks. He's worried about how they're going to receive him, how they're going to treat him, how they're going to respond, even just how they look at him. You know what keeps me from witnessing? Me. It's not a lack of belief in heaven and hell, because I believe in them both. It's not that the gospel message isn't worth repeating, because it is. It's not a hatred for the masses. I'm not saying, oh goody, they get to go to hell, more room for heaven for me. It's the fear of their supposed, it is fear and their supposed reaction to what I'm going to tell them. I think I'm going to upset them by telling them a way to heaven. I'm afraid of disapproving them. Because I've got a problem here. I'm a people pleaser. Okay? I feel good when I make other people happy. I enjoy that. It makes me feel good about myself. I'd rather get the short end of the stick to make someone else happy than fight for something that makes me feel selfish. Okay? That's just how I am naturally. You might not be that way. It's natural for me to yield, to give in, to go with the flow, and not say anything. That's part of my personality. I'm a people pleaser. This is a great weakness whenever it comes to fulfilling the commission that God sent me and you to. Okay? I need God to harden my forehead and my face. I need God to take away my fear and let me not be discouraged at the looks on their faces. I don't know about you. Maybe some of y'all are this way, I think, because I see a lot of head nodding. But whenever I start telling somebody something, I start talking to them, and you start seeing the disapproving looks on their faces, it's like, I'm cutting this short. You know, let me kind of guide the direction, the conversation in another direction, because I can see that I'm not pleasing them with what I'm saying. You know, that's, it might make to have many friends, but it's not good for pleasing the Lord. You say, well, preacher, I don't have that problem. I don't care what other people think or say about me. I don't care about pleasing people. Then why don't you witness more? You have God's word. You've been given the same commission. What's stopping you then? Well, I'm not afraid of them. I don't care what they look at me like or whether they accept it or reject it. Then what's your reason? Maybe you have more fear than what you admit. Maybe their looks and rejection affect you more than what you realize. Because I think if you're honest, these are the same things that'll hinder your witness along with mine. Let's look at some things that are going to help us reach the people that we're sent to. Okay, because we're sent to these people. We're here in Clinton, Oklahoma for a reason. You live in the house that you live in for a reason. You're in the neighborhood you're in for a reason. You're expected to tell others because you have the Word of God. You know their destination. You know the options for their destination, I should say. And you have a commission to tell them. So what's going to help us to deal with these people that we're sent to? Number one, toughen up your sensitivity. Toughen up the areas in which you are sensitive. Find and address your weaknesses. Okay, what is it that keeps you from telling other people? And be honest with yourself. What is it that stops me from telling people about Jesus Christ and giving them the gospel? What is it that's stopping me from doing it? I told you mine. I'm afraid of offending them. I'm afraid that they're going to reject me. I'm afraid that they're going to look at me weird with their faces and everything. And I'm afraid that I'm going to hurt the relationship I do not have with this individual. But I am going to hurt the relationship I have with Jesus Christ. That's, you need to know your enemy. You need to know your flaws. You need to know your shortcomings. Are you a people pleaser? Here's a thought. Seek to please God more. Be a God pleaser. The problem is we don't get to see His face. But we get to read in His Word and know whether or not we're obedient to it. In Acts 5 verse 29 it says we ought to obey God rather than man. We need to put all our people-pleasingness towards God. Because you can play favorites pleasing people, can't you? I mean, you ever get stuck in a situation and you've got two people that disagree and you kind of want to please both of them? And you're like, this isn't good, guys. Confrontation, conflict, oh no, you know, I mean, what do I do? And they like put you in the middle. Yeah, whose side are you on? Absent? Is that Switzerland? Can I just be neutral here? No, pick a side. You know what you're going to do? Side with the one you want to please more. Well, my relationship with this person means more to me, so I'm going to side with them, even though it cost me my relationship with that person. I care about my relationship with them, but I care about this person more. You know what we need to do? I care about my relationship with Jesus Christ more than I care about my non-existent relationship with this person I'm trying to witness to. I don't care how badly they get upset with me. I want to please Him. I want Him to be the one that's happy with me. I want that relationship more than I want any other multitude of relationships. I want to please Him. You're like me, you need to ask God for a face like a flint. The Lord, set me in the right direction and help me not to care what those other people might think about me. They'll either get over it or they won't. But you won't have to give an account for anything other than what you do for Jesus Christ. That's what you're going to get rewards for there. You do have to give an account for all the good things you do in your body and the bad. I understand that. So number one, you need to toughen up your sensitivity. Number two, you need to realize your responsibility. Ezekiel chapter 3, look at verse 17. God's given him his word. He's given him his commission. He said, go and tell other people. He said, it's going to be really hard. Verse number 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. God says, listen, I've given you a message, I've given you a warning, I've given you a people to give that warning to. I expect you to go out and tell them and warn them the way I've told you to do it. If they hear it and they reject it, your hands are clean. You've done what I asked you to do. But if you neglect to go and warn them, when they die in their sins and they're burning eternally in hell, I'm laying that to your charge. Their blood is on your hands because I gave you the warning and you kept quiet. You wouldn't speak up. Verse 20, Again, when the righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. That's all the good people that think they're making it to heaven on their good works. They're living righteously. They're following the principles and the morality in the Bible, and they think they're good because they're good people. But you don't warn them, but that salvation is by grace through faith alone, and their good works aren't going to get them there. They're going to die in their sins. Because thou hast not given him warning, continuing there in verse 20, he shall die in his sins, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. You wash your hands clean because you warned him. There's our responsibility. The thing is, you know God's warning. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. There's warning. Every one of them is a sinner. There's warning. They're going to die and go to hell. There's warning. The only way is Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can they hear if they don't have a preacher? The warning is, they're going to go to hell. You know the warning. If you know God's warning and you don't tell others, their blood will be on your hands. Let me put you at a little bit of ease here. Notice, your responsibility is not to win them. Your responsibility is to tell them. Look at verse 11. Okay, Ezekiel, I got my words. I want you to go to these people. They're hard-hearted, but don't worry. I'm going to give you a face like a flint. I'm going to harden your foreheads. I'm going to give you determinate direction. But look at verse 11. And go. Go thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God. Tell them. Give them my warning. He says this, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. They might receive it, they might reject it. Your job is not to make them receive the gospel. You are not required to convert people. You are commanded to tell people. They might hear, they might not. They might accept, they might reject. They might open up their door, they might not. They might receive your gospel tract, they might throw it in the trash and spit on it. You know, it's interesting, I hope y'all aren't discouraged about the numbers at the revival last week. But you know what I thought was very, very interesting, because I know we've had very hard times through the church for basically a month leading up to the revival, right? There was family issues, financial problems, things breaking down, all this sort of mayhem going on among our church people. And then Sunday morning, usually the most populated service during a revival time and things like that. Sunday morning, I don't know that we had any visitors. Well, we had one. We had one visitor here. And it was a straightforward salvation message. This is why God's angry. There was a call. There was a plead for salvation. And you know who that message was intended for? Everybody that we invited. Everyone that we invited. And the devil's sitting there and here's an excuse here, here's laziness here, here's sin over here. Whatever he could use, he said, just keep them out of the doors. You know what you did by inviting them to church where a gospel presentation was made? You warned them. Whenever they die and they meet the Lord, whenever they face him and he says, I never knew you, they're going to say, Lord, when did I ever have a chance? When did I ever hear that? You remember they handed you that piece of paper. They invited you to this church service. You lied to them straight to their face and you said, oh, I'm going to be there. I promise. And you didn't show. That was your chance. That was the warning. And you say, but they didn't come. No. Doesn't mean we can't warn them again. Doesn't mean we can't tell them. I'm not inviting them. They've told me no. They lied to me 3 or 4 times. Invite them again. You don't have to just warn them once and say, oh, well, that's what they get. Invite them again. That's what the warning's for. That's the only way they're going to hear. You've got the responsibility to tell them, but you don't have the responsibility to win them. But we need to at least say something. So you need to toughen up your sensitivity. You need to realize your responsibility. Number three, you need to take accountability. You know, we support missionaries at this church. We send off a certain amount of money each month to go to these missionaries to help them in the field. They've got supporting churches all around the country, sometimes in other countries, and they get a lump sum together for them to go out into a faraway land and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the natives there. We support them not only with our prayers, but we support them financially. We send them money with some expectations. We expect them, whenever we send them money, we know some of that money goes to provide for their families. That's good. They need to eat. They need clothes. They need housing. They have certain needs within their own family. But we didn't send them out there to vacation in a faraway land. It's not just to go out there and lounge about, read books, watch TV, and do whatever they feel like in that foreign country, getting supported by us. We expect them not to win a million people to Christ, not to, hey, they've got to report back that we want 100 souls saved every month or else we're pulling our support. We don't demand results, but we expect some effort. We expect them to go out and be door knocking. We expect them to be witnessing to people on the street, you know, to have conversations. Different cultures are different ways. Sometimes they can be very open about it. Sometimes they've got to be a little closer about it. But we expect them at some point in time throughout the week to be giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? That's why we sent them over there, right? That's why we backed our money with that. They are accountable in some regards to us because we're backing them up financially. Because we're expecting them to do something for the Lord. That's reasonable, isn't it? You know what you are? You're a missionary backed by God's funding to reach the people of Clinton, Oklahoma. Every dime that you have in your bank account, God has given that to you. God has some expectations with the money that He's given you. Oh, I should give it all to the church. He understands you have some needs. He understands that you need to provide for your house and for your family to pay the utility bills and do things like that. He understands that. That's reasonable. But with the money that God has given you, He expects you to put some of that into His work. He expects you to not only put some money in there, but to put some sweat in there and to do something because He puts you here. He's given you that breath in your lungs. He expects something for His return. But, I mean, if we find out that a missionary is sitting back lounging in the Bahamas somewhere, sipping back Mai Tais with all of our money and not ever talking to anybody about Jesus Christ, we're going to say, we're cutting you off, buddy. No more. What do you think God's response is going to be whenever He says, listen, I've given you a house, I've given you a family, I've given you a car, I've given you a bank account, and all you do is lounge about, you don't do anything for me, you're living for yourself, why did I give you this money to begin with? We need to start taking accountability. We need to say, listen, God put me here, God gave me everything that I have, I should at least be putting forth an effort to do something for Him. Not a demanded results, and God doesn't require you need to see one soul saved every day or every week or every month or every year. He says, I expect you to warn those that I've sent you to. Everyone in Clinton, Oklahoma should know the gospel. Everyone in Clinton, Oklahoma should be given something or at least an opportunity to hear the gospel or have it written down, handed to them, or some confrontation with one of us or somebody else. Why? We've got the word, we've got the commission. We've got expectations. We need to take accountability for what the Lord's given us. See, preacher, this is all Old Testament stuff. I understand a little bit of application. This is Ezekiel and this is dealing with Israel. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Number one, we need to toughen up your sensitivity, areas in which you are sensitive, your weaknesses there. Realize your responsibility. Number two, you're a watchman just like Ezekiel was. God sent you there with a message of warning. If we don't tell them, the blood's on our hands. If we tell them, our hands are clean. Whether they accept it or reject it, whether they hear or forbear, we need to take accountability. God has given me a great many things. We are very privileged in this life, in this country, and we should be giving some of that to the Lord's work, and that's not just money, it's sweat as well. Number four, we need to express and maintain vulnerability. Express and maintain vulnerability. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, start in verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth the hearts. So this is Paul saying God's entrusted us with the gospel. We've been given the gospel. We believe the gospel. We're secure because we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's been put in our trust. Even so, we speak not as pleasing men, but God. We still speak the gospel, not to please everybody that wants to hear it, but to please God because he's told us to say it, which trieth our hearts. Verse 5, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. He said, we didn't present the gospel as something flattering and just, oh, God is love, and oh, we're all good. Oh, just stay the way you are, and oh, you'll get there just fine. Or a cloak of covetousness. You know, if you give me the money, if you do this work, then you'll get into heaven. If you buy this, you'll get into heaven. It's a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Verse number 6, nor of men sought we glory. It's not about you, it's about Jesus Christ. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you. They have the gospel, they got the commission, they're told what to do, they're told to warn people, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. I think that's the opposite of being a people pleaser. I think that's the other issue that holds us back so often. If you're like me and you're a people pleaser, you don't want to upset the other person. I think if you have no problem with, you know, what their reaction's going to be, what their facial expression is, or how they feel, I think this might be the other extreme of that, is the lacking the gentleness and being affectionately desirous of them. Well, I don't care what they think because I don't care about them. I don't care about their response because I could care less about them. The Bible says we need both. We need our face set like a flint, but we need a heart that is open to them. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. He said, I want clean hands. I know the message I'm supposed to give. I know the warning I'm supposed to give. Not only am I supposed to be hard enough and dedicated enough to give you that gospel message, but I need to be open, soft, and loving enough to open up myself and be vulnerable enough to care enough about you to give you that gospel message. Listen, your mind should be set, your face fixed, but your heart open. I lack in this area. I don't have a great witness in this community. I don't reach people. I don't try to reach people the way that I should. I know the warnings. I know the scripture. And I'm trying to get better on this because the Lord's been dealing with me about this. The Lord's been pestering me about this. I was using door knocking because we do door knocking kind of sporadically here and there. Try to do it at least once a month and different things. But I would do it in a way to where I just want to invite them to church and that'd be it. That's enough. Just come to church. Okay, thanks, bye. You know, don't get offended. Let me just set this here. And I just, to appease my conscience a little bit, so I went out door knocking. But you know what I tried yesterday? I said, I need a harder face. I need some more boldness here. And it was funny because I was shaking like a leaf. It felt like the most all the time. But I'd go up there and I'd knock on the door and say, hey, we're with Grace Baptist Church. Just want to invite you to church. You know, here's our information. Do you have a church home you go to? They either say, no, don't go anywhere. Yeah, we go to this one somewhere or whatever. Okay. And then I added something. Can I ask you, are you going to go to heaven when you die? I hope so. That's the answer I got whenever I was able to get that far with them. I hope so. You know, the Bible says you can know so. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I said, you can know. I said, what are you basing that on? You know, your hope and everything. Well, you know, I was baptized, or I'm a pretty good person, or whatever they'd say. Can I show you what the Bible says? Don't argue with them. Oh, that's wrong. You believe in baptism saves you? Baptism doesn't save you. It just gets you wet. You know, you're just a wet sinner and everything. No, can I show you what the Bible says? You know what I had one guy say yesterday? Sure, go for it. Okay, here we go. You know, and I told him, and you know, as I was going through, he's like, yeah. You know, I was like, you know this stuff? Yeah. You know, and he's, okay, let me ask you this. Here's what the Bible says about getting saved. Have you ever asked the Lord to save you? Have you? That's pretty direct. That's direct for me. You know what's going to get that hard face? Doing it again. Going again. But they're mean. Yeah, don't worry about their looks. But I'm afraid. Fear not. Okay, there's obstacles. The Lord tells us about this. The Lord lets us know, hey, I got you a message. I got my message for you. I want you to go out. Here, most of them are going to reject you. Whether they hear, whether they forbear, don't worry about that. But listen, your job's to warn them. Your responsibility is to warn them. The results are up to me. The condemnation then rests on them. But for your hands to be clean, you just got to tell them. But don't worry about their face. Don't worry about your fear. Why don't you ask me for help there? Because God's given us a job, He will equip us to do it. Amen. God didn't tell Ezekiel, listen, give this message to Israel, best of luck to you. He said, here's what to expect, here's what I'm going to do, here's what you need to know is going to happen. And he walked them through. God was with them every step of the way. Amen. Thing is, God's given us a commission, and you got to realize He's going to be with us every step of the way. Yes. But the question is, do you even want to see God in that? The problem is, we say, I don't want to try it because if I do, then He might expect something from me. I might get rejected. There's a lot of excuses you could use. The question is, are you going to be obedient or do you want to go to heaven with bloody hands? Those are the only options. Not to win, but to tell. We can talk about everything, can't we? I want to talk about Jesus. Let's go ahead and stand.